Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com, along with 26 years of essays, visit reports, and press releases relating to the network of private, parent-choice residential schools and programs working with teens and young people making poor decisions. Today is August the 21st, 2015, and we're going to talk about trauma and meditation. My guest is John Stewart. Good afternoon, John. Good to have you here, and thank you for taking the time to talk.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it, Lon. It's good to be with you.
All right. Well, John has a master's in social work. He was 10 years clinical director for New Haven RTC in Utah, and for 4 years has been their executive director at New Haven, and he's the one that developed the trauma model, so he's probably the best person to tell us what's going on. The title is Helping Trauma Meditatively, and so, John, let's define the terms. When you talk about trauma, I think the public has some concepts of trauma that might not be very accurate. Define what do you mean by trauma, and then meditation or meditatively.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, thanks for asking. So, trauma is certainly a painful event that somebody experiences that has a side effects or repercussion and consequences that interferes with perhaps just immediate or even long-term functioning in life. Certainly, some people have broken that out to say that there's little T's, little traumas, and there's also big T's, big traumas. And certainly when people tend to think about traumas, they typically go to big T's, such as anything along the line of some sort of violence or abuse or some sort of a car accident, those type of things. Certainly, there's a lot of little T's that people experience in life and be a very unpleasant experience, perhaps have a violation of their interpersonal space in terms of maybe something would say something to them verbally or act towards them in an emotional, aggressive manner. So traumas can be experienced in a lot of different ways. However, it's a very much individual experience because some people experience those events differently based upon the backgrounds that they come from, what their coping mechanisms are like, what their strengths are like, and so forth.
Yeah, I've run across several kids who had had a trauma, but it was something so innocuous nobody really remembers it until they get deep into therapy. It's one of these little T's, but somehow or other it really impacted the child and had long-term consequences. So I think when people assume that a trauma is only something violent and major, like a car accident or abuse or something, they might be missing a lot of things that really do mess up their attitudes.
Yes, correct. And certainly we've seen more recently here in the last 5 years, a lot of this has been on bullying, which in some ways could certainly be little T's and some cases big T's. Where we see a pattern of traumas occurring with an individual, and sadly, if they're not in a position to be able to navigate the sadnesses of those situations, those peer cultures, then the little T's can dial up and overwhelm their ability to be able to cope with life. Certainly, that's where we see mood disorders such as like anxiety or depression to set in. We see other coping mechanisms, maybe perhaps like drug and alcohol, self-harm, and so forth, start to come in as compensating measures in order to deal with little T's, even in a cumulative manner.
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of situations that where the little T's are impactful, and something, a big trauma, I remember one case, it was a client, a mother I worked with, that was abused by his uncle, and in retrospect, the kid was saying, hey, no big deal, and then he had to testify against his uncle, and that was the trauma that messed him up.
Yes, and certainly, in some ways, kind of been a little bit of a powder keg. Certainly, the youth might have felt like, hey, I'm handling this, I'm dealing with this, mm-hmm. and however, going through the experience of testifying, really lit the fuse, and the whole thing just kind of spilled it and really overwhelmed his ability to kind of handle all those intense emotions at once.
Yeah, a lot of his emotions were that was with his favorite uncle, and he liked him, and he had to testify against him and send him to prison was the result. And that was what he reported was the thing that messed him up and why he needed a therapeutic intervention or an RTC on that. Well, okay, let's talk about meditation. I know there's different types of meditation, so what's your definition of meditation, or what do you use there in working with the trauma kids?
Well, meditation certainly has a really impactful this for people, because what they get to be able to do is have a period of time to be able to be very intrinsic about how they're thinking, how they're experiencing their emotions. So it provides a process, an avenue, a path for somebody to become more in tune with themselves and to be able to work on those challenges that they might be experiencing, as well as supporting the strengths that they have in their life, and to be able to move forward in creating a pattern in their life of healthy functioning. So we're very, very fortunate to be able to utilize a variety of different kinds of meditation. One that's very familiar and known to a lot of people is yoga. That's an opportunity to be able to have not only that introspection, yet at the same time as having body movement to complement that process. So very deliberate activity to be able to support the reflection about maybe what a person is feeling or thinking, or to be able to focus on a perhaps a positive skill in how one thinks in a positive way, and to be able to support that by going through a particular movement with the yoga. Certainly, there's also other meditation forms a little bit outside of what people anticipate. Something in terms of being able to spend time with animals can be a meditative practice. Having an opportunity to be nurtured by a horse or a cat or a dog, spending that time quietly or maybe even with somebody else can be a real strength of being able to feel nurtured, a sense of belonging.
How does that work, being nurtured by an animal? Because the general image is you are doing for the animal, but you're talking about the reverse. How does that work? Can you think of an example?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, animals are certainly intuitive. We see this in equine therapy, meaning that's involving horses in the therapeutic process. Animals, of course, are very reciprocal. So whatever we provide to them, they're going to provide back to us. So if you really want to take a look at it in a kind of a fun angle, there's been a series of articles here in the last couple of years that have come out talking about how dogs and cats train humans to be able to take care of them in a certain way. So like with the cat wants to be able to be petted, and so they'll purr, and we think that a wonderful noise and sound, and so we pet even more, and the cat purrs more, and really kind of creates that symbiotic relationship of being able to have needs met. And so that nurturing comes back in terms of a youth who's experiencing a difficult situation. It's not uncommon for a difficult individual group or family therapy situation where a lot of the painful emotions come up, as in working with the trauma. And for them to be able to go and take a time out to be with a horse or with a dog, and to that reciprocal experience, and being able to pet them and having the horse nuzzle, being able to just spend that time and have a sense of belonging and goodness about who they are, sadness about trauma and how it occurs and the resultant thoughts and feelings from it, really in a lot of ways comes down to manifesting and we're not good enough, or we're not important, or we don't have value. And the beauty of being able to have meditation in a lot of different forms, especially animal involved, is to be able to give the opposite message that you are important and that you do count.
You know, I've seen that in a lot of animals. You know, like a dog is the most obvious, that when you've been gone for a while and you come back, they turn themselves inside out, excited. That's very good for your self-concept. But now,
that's a great example.
But now you talk about cats. So the old observation that cats ignore you is not quite true.
Well, that tends to be, cats tend to be a little bit more independent. And so they really want to equate to be the same as dogs. Dogs are a lot more responsive. However, there's certain, just a neat thing about cats that I've seen in even a family therapy session where there's a trauma going on. in terms of processing about the trauma experience. And having the cat actually on a student's lap was able to ground that student to be able to help that student focus with the process rather than getting lost in their emotions and talking about the trauma experience. Certainly, cats can show up and be able to provide a very helpful grounding piece emotionally at times. I think the casual social interactions with cats, something there for you, and other times they just say, hey, I'm off to do my own thing, and that doesn't sit well with some people.
Oh, I know the old saying is that have a balanced personality, you need a dog that adores you and a cat that ignores you, and that's a balance. That's the proper thing. Well, we about ran out of time, but could you tell us a little bit about New Haven? What kind of a program is it, and the type of kids that you work with, in about 30 seconds, maybe a minute?
Yes, I appreciate that. New Haven is its only treatment program. We're fortunate to be able to work with 13 to 18-year-old adolescent females. And the hallmark of New Haven's legacy is working with families. So we have been blessed to be operating for 20 years now, working with over 1,300 families. That's a mark for us is We Heal Families. We have a very wonderful program that employs a lot of different type of avenues, such as what we've been talking about, in addition to the regular other type of therapies that one would expect, to be able to meet the individual journey of a family and an individual in their effort to be able to heal and to repair from the trauma that they've experienced.
All right. Well, if somebody had more questions about either New Haven or wanted to contact you, how could they contact you?
Oh, yeah, good. So our contact information, you can look us up on the web at newhavenrtc.com, as well as being able to call our number and to be able to talk to one of our wonderful admissions specialists who are excellent. Being able to provide a lot of information, and that number is 1-888-317-3958.
Well, thank you very much. This is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. Been talking with John Stewart. He's Executive Director of New Haven RTC, and particularly talking about the working with their trauma models at the program. They're located in Utah. And thank you very much, John. Good to have you here. Very enlightening.
Been a privilege. Thank you so much, Juan.